Imagine a world where Abraham Lincoln never became president. In February 1861, as the nation teetered on the brink of civil war, this alternative history nearly became reality. A cabal of Southern sympathizers in Baltimore had meticulously planned to assassinate the president-elect as he passed through their city en route to his inauguration. The conspiracy wasn't the work of fringe extremists, but organized militants with connections to powerful secret societies. What makes this plot particularly chilling is how few Americans today realize Lincoln survived an assassination attempt 4 years before John Wilkes Booth's fatal shot. Had these Baltimore conspirators succeeded, American history would have unfolded along a dramatically different path, with the Civil War potentially taking a darker turn before Lincoln could even take office. By 1860, America had become two countries sharing one flag. Slavery had evolved from a moral debate into an existential crisis threatening the Union. With 3.5 million enslaved people in the South, a sevenfold increase from 75 years earlier, the Southern economy depended on human bondage. Cotton production generated enormous wealth for white landowners, while subjecting enslaved people to barbaric 14-hour workdays and brutal punishments. The political divide turned violent even in Congress. After Senator Charles Sumner's anti-slavery speech in 1856, Congressman Preston Brooks beat him unconscious with a cane at his Senate desk. Brooks became a Southern hero, receiving replacement canes as gifts, while Sumner became a Northern martyr. Congressmen began arming themselves as an unlikely figure emerged nationally. Abraham Lincoln, born in a one-room dirt-floored log cabin with minimal formal education, had taught himself to read. His 1858 debates with Stephen Douglas established him as an articulate opponent of slavery's expansion. Though Lincoln lost that Senate race, his performance caught national attention. At the 1860 Republican National Convention, Lincoln's campaign manager executed a brilliant strategy, positioning him as everyone's best second choice, securing the nomination by the third ballot. The Democratic Party split into Northern and Southern factions virtually guaranteed Lincoln's victory, though he won less than 40% of the popular vote. His election was profoundly sectional. He didn't carry a single slaveholding state, and in many Southern states, his name didn't even appear on ballots. As the nation fractured, a dangerous plot emerged in Baltimore, Maryland. Barber Cipriano Ferrandini, a Knights of the Golden Circle member, orchestrated a conspiracy alongside William Byrne, founder of the National Volunteers. The National Volunteers, originally formed to support Southern Democratic candidates, transformed after Lincoln's election into a militant organization with hundreds of members between Baltimore and Washington. Their manifesto pledged to stand by and defend the South against the Black Republican Party. Ferrandini began recruiting for a secret group with an even more sinister purpose, assassinating President-elect Lincoln. The conspirators planned to strike when Lincoln's train arrived at Baltimore's Calvert Street station on February 23rd. They would create a disturbance to draw away police protection, leaving Lincoln vulnerable as he passed through the station tunnel. The plot might have succeeded if not for Alan Pinkerton, America's first private detective, who received an urgent warning from Samuel Felton, president of the Philadelphia, Wilmington, and Baltimore Railroad, about a deep-laid conspiracy to prevent Lincoln's inauguration. Recognizing the gravity of the situation, Pinkerton assembled an elite undercover team for Baltimore. Timothy Webster, a powerful former NYC policeman, Harry Davies, a well-educated man with Jesuit training, and Kate Warren, America's first female detective hired in 1856. The team quickly infiltrated secessionist circles. Davies befriended wealthy secessionist Otis K. Hillard, who introduced him to Captain Ferrandini. Pinkerton, posing as Southern sympathizer John Hutchison, gained stockbroker Thomas Luckett's trust, who revealed a secret organization planning to prevent Lincoln from passing through Baltimore. The investigation climaxed on February 15th when Pinkerton met Ferrandini at Barr's Saloon. As they discussed politics, the barber became very excited, arguing that Southerners were justified resorting to any means to prevent Lincoln from taking his seat. With unwavering conviction, he declared, "Murder of any kind is justifiable and right to save the rights of the Southern people," before making his chilling proclamation, "If I alone must do it, I shall. Lincoln shall die in this city." With evidence mounting, Pinkerton sent Kate Warne to contact Norman Judd, a trusted member of Lincoln's inner circle, traveling with the inaugural train. Lincoln had begun his journey from Springfield on February 11, delivering an emotional farewell. "I now leave, not knowing when or whether ever I may return, with a task before me greater than that which rested upon Washington." On February 21, with Lincoln's train approaching Philadelphia, Pinkerton convinced Judd of the great danger, securing agreement to move Lincoln through Baltimore 36 hours earlier than announced. That evening, Lincoln met with Pinkerton in his hotel room. Frederick Seward's arrival with independent warnings of the assassination plot provided crucial corroboration that convinced Lincoln. After raising a new 34-star flag at Independence Hall and declaring, "I would rather be assassinated on this spot than to surrender the principle of liberty," Lincoln slipped away from a Harrisburg reception. Donning an overcoat and soft-brimmed hat, he boarded a specially chartered train to Philadelphia with only Ward Hill Lehman, where Kate Warne had secured berths under false names. At 12:45 a.m. on February 23rd, the train crossed into Maryland. Railroad workers stood vigil every quarter mile with lanterns confirming safe passage, while Pinkerton had cut telegraph wires to prevent conspirator coordination. Around 3:15 a.m., workers detached their passenger car at Baltimore's outskirts and horses drew it through cobblestone streets past Barnum's City Hotel, a known conspirator gathering place. By 4:30 a.m., Lincoln's train had safely cleared Baltimore. In Washington, Pinkerton nearly struck a shadowy figure who turned out to be Congressman Elihu Washburn, then sent his coded telegram to Chicago. "Plum arrived here with nuts this morning, all right." News of Lincoln's secret arrival sparked varied reactions. Southern papers attacked his character, with the Charleston Mercury calling it the most wretched cowardice. Frederick Douglass offered a more thoughtful view, seeing wisdom, forethought, and discretion in evading potential assassins. Lincoln immediately faced the Fort Sumter crisis. When Confederate forces fired on April 12, 1861, the Civil War began, a conflict claiming more American lives than all other U.S. wars combined from the Revolution through Korea. Despite personal grief and criticism, Lincoln evolved from political caution to bold action with the Emancipation Proclamation. Had the Baltimore plot succeeded, would Hamlin or another leader have made the same crucial decisions to preserve the Union? Thanks to Pinkerton, Warren, and their team, Lincoln survived to lead America through its greatest crisis, preserving the Union and advancing the nation toward its founding promise of equality. The Baltimore plot reveals democracy's fragility during national division. One secret train journey changed American history, allowing a self-educated frontiersman to become our greatest president. Lincoln's journey demonstrates how courage and vigilance can preserve democracy when it hangs by the thinnest of threads.